Wednesday, September 28th, 2016, 5 a.m., small town in Sumatra. I'm still in Sumatra. My current tourist visa is expiring in a few days, and I'm on my way to a town called Siantar to visit the immigration office and apply for a 30-day extension. This may or may not go well. You need official documents from a local sponsor in order to get a visa extension. I have a sponsor and the documents already prepared, but this sponsor lives in the town of Kisaran, not in Siantar. And Kisaran is closer to a different immigration office, so there is a chance the office in Siantar won't accept my application. However, I did it there once before and it worked out. The problem with this office is that they take a long time to process things. On my last visit to the Siantar immigration office, my smartphone was stolen. Since then, I've purchased a handlebar bag. The idea is that I can put my phone inside the handlebar bag. It is still easily accessible for me, but also safe from thieves. Yesterday, I rode my bike to a small town near the slightly larger town of Lima Pulu. I describe it that way because I can't remember the name of this place. This is also my second visit to this town. I've had a few adventures here. I think on my first visit, I described it as one of the worst places in the world. These small Sumatran towns strike me that way. I remember walking down the main street on my first visit and marveling that people live their entire lives in places like this. It's ugly beyond description. It's dirty, it's noisy, the streets are hot and crowded and dusty. It's hard to describe. I just got a very bad vibe from this place. On this visit, my impressions are largely the same. The only difference is that I haven't done any exploring. I wasn't in the mood upon my arrival. I ended up in this town on my first visit, and now on this second visit because there is a hotel here. Hotels and many other things are quite variable in Sumatra. There doesn't seem to be a standard across towns. In one town, you can find a reasonably priced hotel with friendly staff and very nice rooms. In the next, you find a crumbling hulk for which they charge astronomical prices. This particular hotel is somewhere in between. It's called the Wisma Idola, and I was disappointed on my first visit to find that their rooms were all priced significantly north of 100,000 rupiah, which I think of as my upper limit. That's about $10 Canadian. The reason for the higher price range is that all their rooms come with some amenities, a private bathroom, an air conditioner, and a TV. On my first visit, I was upset that I had to pay so much, but I enjoyed the heck out of the air conditioner. Having cool and dry air in my room had a tremendous positive effect on my mood and overall physical condition, and that of my clothing and gear. I also got a single room, which is their cheapest room at about $13 a night, and it was on the first floor, so it was easy to roll my bike and my new trailer right into the room. I quickly unpacked and arranged my room and rinsed all my sweat-drenched clothes. I was also very pleased to find that each room had a separate 1-gallon dispenser of purified water, and in the hallway there was a much larger dispenser. Therefore, I could drink all that I needed, which was a lot, and then I could refill all my bottles for the next day of cycling. It was very convenient. I had an amusing time on my first visit because a stream of strangers kept knocking on my door. They were looking for friends or something, and they constantly got the room wrong or had no idea where their friends were and just knocked on every door in turn. In any event, they were very surprised when I opened the door. The door couldn't be locked from the inside, so I had men walking right inside my room. This even happened while I was sleeping, and I found myself staring up at the face of a strange man who had wandered into my room by mistake. The staff of the hotel also made a habit of knocking on my door. They were on the hunt for a tip, or what they think of as smoking money. They make a smoking gesture to indicate that they would like me to give them some money so they can buy cigarettes. I generally choose to misunderstand this gesture and explain that I don't smoke. I wasn't totally against giving a tip, but at this hotel, the level of service is extremely bad. I can understand asking for a tip if you are actually helping me in some way, but the people here couldn't be less interested in doing anything. My experience of this hotel on my second visit has been consistent with the first. This time, there wasn't even a single room available. I had to spring for the more expensive double room at 165,000 rupiah, or about $16.50. That's a lot of money for me. It was disappointing on many levels. The room they showed me was the same size as the single room I'd had before. They'd just crammed an extra bed into it, one that I had no use for. So it actually had less usable space and cost more. It was also on the second floor, which made it harder to carry my stuff inside. Finally, upon getting organized inside the room, I discovered that the main light didn't work. Rooms like this are confusing for me. Normally, I don't worry about anything. If you pay $5 a night for a room and it is dirty or the lights don't work, you don't worry about it. You get what you pay for. I generally have enough of my own gear with me that I can fix things or make things work. But when you are forced to pay for the overpriced luxury room, and now the lights don't work, it feels like a bit of a slap in the face. I doubted anything would happen, but I decided to tell the staff about the light and see what happened. I didn't expect them to fix it, but if I didn't at least ask, I would feel like a sucker. It seemed like it was time to stand on my rights. I felt this way also because the staff were so unhelpful. I wouldn't call them unfriendly, but they were simply not present. They spent all their time staring at their phones and seemed to want me to just go away, even when I was checking in. Nothing was their problem or their responsibility. When it came time to pay, I offered up two 100,000 rupiah notes. The girl simply waved them off. The problem? They had no change. And as far as she was concerned, she had done her job by waving at me. That was the end of the issue as far as she was concerned. The wave told me that they had no change. What I did after that was my business. If I wanted to stay at her hotel, I had to produce exact change. If I wasn't able to, I was free to leave and go somewhere else. And her eyes and swiping finger went back to her phone. Luckily, by going through all my pockets and all my bags, I was able to scrounge up 165,000 rupiah in exact change. But with that experience fresh in my mind, I felt in my rights to cause a little bit of trouble over the broken light. Since they spoke no English, I got out my smartphone and used that and Google Translate. Our exchange was pretty much what I expected. I told them that the light in my room was broken, and I asked them if they could fix it. She wrote back, through Google Translate, that the light in my room is broken. And that was it. She ignored me after that. I then pushed it a bit farther and asked if I could then get a discount. I knew that was impossible, but I just wanted to cause some trouble. I kept it friendly, but I made my point. And then I felt better. Had I just let it go, I would have felt weak and a sucker. I was particularly happy I'd stood up for myself a little bit when I returned to the room and discovered all the other things that were wrong with it, including disgusting cigarette butts floating in the water of the toilet bowl. Again, that would be par for the course for a cheap room. I'm not bothered by dirty rooms and cigarette butts and spiders and spiderwebs in all the corners and broken lights. I'm only bothered by stuff like that when the room is expensive. To my other surprise, the other pattern carried over from my first visit as well. I was back in my room for only a few minutes when there was a loud knock on my door. I happened to be stripped naked at the time, and it took me a minute or two to find some dry clothes. As I dressed, this person kept banging on my door, and I kept shouting back in English. At the time, I thought it might even be someone from the hotel who had come to fix the light. But when I finally opened the door, I found myself staring at a strange and rather shocked Indonesian man. He was looking for his friend, apparently, and did not expect a giant foreigner to open the door. I was confused, of course, since I had clearly shouted English words through the door. I have no idea how he couldn't have figured out his mistake before I opened the door. Had his friend suddenly learned English and changed his voice?